I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy and to chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 8 of the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 8 of the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and that let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles again to the Psalm 119 and to the Mem section, which is verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97, please. And we're going to read from that verse. The Psalm 119, and beginning our reading at verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. How I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. And I'm going to take the verse 103 there as our motto text this year. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the precepts of God's precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, and we thank thee for its help to us and for its instruction. We thank thee for its rebukes. We thank thee, our God, for its direction of our ways to thee. We thank thee, our God, that it exalts the Saviour. And we bless thee that it leads us home to where thou art. And we pray today that thy word might be a treasure to us, and that thou wouldst write it upon our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Draw near to us, we pray, and pour out thy blessing upon us as we come now to consider thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, I've no need to tell you today that the psalmist David lived in the times of the Old Testament. And obviously, the Old Testament days were different from what we have today. In the book of Hebrews, the apostle speaks about those times, and he said, God, who had in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. But these were the times when the prophets were preaching the word of God. God spoke to men through his prophets. And David would have known some of the prophets. He would have known of Moses. He would have known Samuel. He would have known a prophet like Nathan and some other of the prophets that were witnesses in that day to the word of God. But we recognize that God did not speak in the Old Testament days exactly the way he does today, because we have the whole Bible. We have the canon of the scripture complete. And one of the means by which David would have received and discerned the word of God was by the means of pictures, or by the means of the types that pointed forward to the blessed work of Calvary. He could have looked at the Aaronic priesthood and the high priest, and how that spoke of the blessed work of Calvary. He could have looked at the tabernacle, or at the temple, or well, he would have had the temple, but at the tabernacle, he could have seen the laver. He could have seen the place of cleansing. He would have seen the burnt offerings and the place where the blood was shed. And he would have looked at all of these things that all spoke of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he was going to do in dying for our sins there on that center cross. He also had access to those interesting instruments, the Urim and the Thummim, those stones that were carried in the garments of the high priest, and they were used at times to discern the will of God. And not only that, but we read that there were short periods during the Old Testament when miracles were performed, and God gave signs by means of the miracles. But I want you to notice very carefully here that when David came to write this verse in the Psalms, he didn't speak about those miracles. He didn't say how sweet are the miracles and these signs to my taste, or how wonderful are the pictures in the tabernacle to my taste, or how sweet is the Urim and the Thummim to my taste. No, he speaks about the Holy Scriptures, and he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, I have covenanted with the Lord that I would neither ask for visions, nor for angels, nor for miracles, but I would be satisfied with his own word. And the German reformer was right. In times gone by, God spoke by various means. But thank God today he has given us his word as our only rule of faith and practice. And it is sufficient in this charismatic age in which there's a craze for signs and wonders and tongues and prophecy. I want you to remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And what was that sign? It was the sign of the resurrection. And we thank God for the visible demonstrations of the Lord's presence in days gone by. But we think of God's word today. And the Lord said, these are they that testify of me. And what we need as we go into a new year, and every day of a new year, I think is a new relish for the word of God, for the scriptures of truth. We thank God for the word of God that strengthens us. Thank God for the word of God that directs us. For the word of God that shines a lamp along so that we might know the way to go. And we need direction in this incoming year. And we need strength in this incoming year. And we need help from God in this incoming year. And we will get that from the word of God. We want to go according to God's precious word. And today we need, as God's people, to have a new relish for the word of God. I'm not talking even to those that profess faith or to those that are lukewarm Christians. I'm talking to each one of us, Bible-believing Christians that stand for God and for his word. We need a new relish for God's word. May God sweep away the complacency. May God give us an awareness of what the scriptures are and how powerful they are. What a weapon we have. You think of the armor of God, and what is the sword, the offensive weapon that he's given? It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so today, I want us to look at what David says about the scriptures here. And there are a number of things about David and the word of God that I want you to very simply see here at the end of our meeting. And I want you to see, first of all, David's estimation of the word. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I want you to see that David here puts a very high value on the word of God. He speaks of them as thy words. He knows that this is God's word. He recognizes that this is no ordinary word. This is God's word. These are the breathed words of the living God himself. This is not dry and dusty. This is not old fashioned. But David says, no, this is as honey to my taste. And David relishes the word of God. I wonder, do we today? And I want you to see that David relishes the word of God in spite of the disadvantages he had and compared to us. You see, we see that he says that God's word is sweet despite the composition of the word. Now you remember when David is talking here, the only scriptures that he has is the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses. He might have had Job, he might have had a few more, but there was a very slim volume indeed. And yet, even though David didn't have the full orb of Scripture and the full revelation of God in his word, he still says that it is sweet. He didn't have all that you and I have. He doesn't have all the answers that you and I have. There was a lot that was unclear. And here he is. He has the first five books of the word of God. Tell us about history. A lot of it is history. And yet in spite of all of that, it is wonderful history. It's the history of God's covenant people. But history nevertheless. But in spite of that, he says it is sweet to his taste. How sweet are thy words to my taste. And you know, dear friend, today, as we come to God's word, we have the blessed privilege of having God's word to our hearts today. And we have the full orb of Scripture. And we have the revelation that has continued. And I wonder, is it sweet to us? You see, even though it was limited, David could still look in and see much of Christ. You think of the first gospel promise in Genesis 3 and 15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then you have the other pictures. You have the story of Isaac and Jacob and the ram caught in the thicket. And there you have a picture again of Calvary. You think of all of these things that speak to us of Calvary. And David was later to write, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And you know, David would have contemplated Christ and contemplated Calvary. You know what was said of Abram? That Abram rejoiced to see my day, that's Christ's day. And he was glad. My dear friend, there's a sweetness about Calvary, isn't there? Surely there is nothing sweeter to us as we come to the start of a new year to the think of what our Savior has done. And dying there on the center cross of Calvary, in our room and in our stead. But I want you to see that David counted God's word as sweet, even though he hadn't the full revelation that you and I have. He wasn't able to look back on what our Savior accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. He could look forward dimly. But even dimly, it was sweet to his taste. Not only was it sweet to him in spite of the content or the construction of the word, but it was sweet in spite of the contents of the word. You see, you look at those first five books of Moses, and what are they mainly? They're law, they're commandments. And when we think of the commandments of God, natural man is at enmity against the commandments. Indeed, we're at enmity against any commandment. Man particularly doesn't like to be told what to do. None of us like to be told what to do. We don't like commands naturally. And yet here are the commands of God. Here is the command of God. And these commands are uncomfortable. These are commands that cut across our natures, cut across what we are. They cut across our lifestyle. It cuts across our personality. And naturally speaking, man is at enmity with God. And yet here is David, and he's been brought to the place where God's word is sweet to him. Why? because he had obeyed the commands. He had taken the commands on board. And dear friend, it is always wise to obey the commands of God. You know, there are times when we think we know better. You think of the disciples out fishing, and we remember how they caught nothing. And remember the Lord came and he said to them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And you know, those experienced fishermen could have looked at the Saviour and said, there's no point. We've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. But you remember the reply of Peter? He said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And what happened? Well, we read, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. And you know, God's word is sweet to our taste because, thank God, it is something that works. It is something that when we obey his word, it works. Dear friend, are we obedient today? It's very easy to pick and choose what the commands that we obey and what commandments we don't. It's very easy to go through God's word and look for the things that are suitable for us. But dear friend, even the commands that cut across us, those commands are sweet to our taste because they're for our good. They're for our blessing. They're what God wants us to be and to do. And we ignore those commands and cut across those commands at our peril. And then I want you to see something else. We think of the character of this taste. Because notice that it's described here as sweet. Isn't it a significant thing? God's word is sweet. And that's the way that it is described throughout the word of God. It's always spoken of as like honey. But you know, there sometimes is a bitterness also with the word of God. Because we read in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And he says, thy word was found and I did eat them. And then it speaks of how that word is bitter to his taste. And you know, there are many people who are like that. At first, the word is bitter. But when the word gets down into the being, it becomes sweet to the taste. And maybe today you can think back at times when God's word was bitter to you. When God's word smote your conscience. When God's word came with rebuke. When God's word was something that came with chastisement upon it or in it. And dear friend, you didn't like it. But you know, God wants to bring sweetness out of the bitterness. God always brings sweetness at the end. It's always good when you obey the word of God because it always brings sweetness. We think of the word that God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, dear friend, thank God when we come to him, then thank God the bitterness is taken away and the sweetness comes. There is sweetness in hearing the one that we love. There's always sweetness in hearing one that we have that affection for, our husband, our wife, our sweetheart, whoever it is. We always want to be in their presence. Shouldn't it be the same with the Savior today? The one who's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't we love him and want to be in his presence? The character of the taste, it is sweet. But look at the consequence of the taste. It brings strength. Thank God for the strength that is given. When you eat honey, what happens? Well, it imparts strength. You think of Jonathan. We read about Jonathan in the book of 1 Samuel, and we think of him, and he went out to the Philistines, and Saul had forbidden the people to eat anything, and Jonathan found some honey. And when he took the honey, he was strengthened, and his eyes were enlightened, and he was able to go out and smite the enemy. Isn't that what we need today? We need to go out and smite the enemy. The honey brings strength. And then something else. The honey sanctifies. You think of how the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify in the verse means to consecrate. It means to set apart. And we come to the truth of God, and it sanctifies us. It cleanses us. It purifies us. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of those things that are wrong. And if we confess our sins, thank God He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the scientists have found? That bacteria cannot live on honey. No bacteria can live on honey. And anything that you put honey on, it will purify. It's a great cure, of course, for a sore throat. It's a great cure for many of the ailments. Thank God for the honey that is sweet to our taste. It sanctifies. Oh, dear friend, do you feel its strength today? Do you feel it's purifying? Something else that the honey does. Bring solace. Thank God that when we're in difficulty and in trials, it is the source of solace and the source of comfort. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 28, the psalmist says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And we think of the testimonies of many of God's people in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties. They have tasted of the honey of God's precious word, and its sweetness has helped to alleviate the bitterness. And maybe in the past year, child of God, you've gone through many difficulties, and the path has been rough, and the way has been steep, and there's been many adversaries along the way. And you have gone through the valley of the shadow of death, as it were, and you have been in the place of mourning. No, dear friend, where do you get comfort? Well, thank God for the comfort of others and for Christian friends in particular. But you know, the words that we bring can only alleviate the need for a little time. Where does real comfort come from? It comes from the precious word of God. It comes from God's precious truth. So, thank God for the word of God. Today, we thank God for that precious word that speaks to our hearts and helps us along the pathway of life and blesses us so abundantly. We see David's estimation of the word of God and David's appropriation of the word of God, but also want you to see David's coronation of the word of God. What does he say about this food? Well, he says it's like honey. Now, what is honey? Well, of course, honey is the sweetest of natural foods. And David, as it were, crowns the word of God as being the sweetest because he says it's sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than the most natural sweet thing that he could think of. And he's really putting a preeminence here upon the word of God. It's the sweeter than the sweetest thing that he could compare it to. You know, sometimes we can eat too much honey. I wouldn't because I don't really like it. But if you did like it, you could eat too much of it. And you'd sicken yourself. You know, the thing about the word of God is that the more you eat it, the sweeter it becomes. The more blessed it becomes. You know, we think of how the Bible says, the psalmist said, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. And dear friend, we need to recognize the preeminence of the word of God. We need to recognize that with all the calls that are out there and the propaganda of the world that calls upon us to modify our lives and walk according to what they have to say, that God's word has to be preeminent. And when the world cuts across this word, then this word for the Christian has to be the way that we walk. Doesn't matter if it means that we go against the law. If the law cuts across God's word, well, we're law-abiding citizens. But when it's better to obey God than men, then it comes to that point when we obey God. The word of God has to be preeminent. The Bible's not an ordinary book. It's the very word of God, the very word that saves us. It makes us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. But not only is the word of God preeminent, it's powerful. You think of the honey. It's able to give enlightenment to the mind. We mentioned David there, or Jonathan rather, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and how he put forth the end of his rod in his hand, and he lifted the honey and took it, and it enlightened him. And you know what we need in this incoming day is people with perception and people with discernment. To be able to discern the times of the time, the signs of the time. We read about the men of Issachar in their day, that they had understanding of the times, knowing what Israel ought to do. And what we need in these days of darkness is for people who have understanding of the times, knowing what we ought to do. You know, God's people are perishing for lack of knowledge today. We don't know what to do. That's the problem. In the face of the onslaughts of the world and the devil, very often we're caught out and we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. We need the discernment. We need the enlightenment that God's word gives us. We need to be delved in the word of God. It needs to be second nature to us to be able to turn to the word of God. That's why we need to meditate upon it and why we need to take it in and why we need to imbibe it into ourselves. The word of God is powerful. It gives us what to do. It directs our ways. It gives us the things to say in the midst of the onslaughts of this day and generation. And then, not only is the word of God preeminent and powerful, but it's personal. He says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." My taste. You see, it's got to be personal. No use somebody else reading the word of God. You can have a preacher, and hopefully you have a preacher that goes into the word of God and brings out things old and new. And it's good to be able to sit under the preaching of the word of God, and it's good to go and find out from others what they have learned from God's precious word. But you know, the only real way of being skilled in the word of God is that you go and take that word. Now, how much have you been reading and studying the word of God? Is it a habit that has fallen by the wayside in any way? Do you take the Bible day by day? Do you read from God's precious word? Do you take it and meditate upon some precious thought in that word? Is it something that you meditate in day and night like the psalmist? If not, then you need to recognize and see again that God's word has to be sweet to your taste. There's a Roman Catholic priest many years ago in Belgium, and he came across a lady reading the Bible, and he began to remonstrate with her and rebuke her because she was reading that bad book. And she said to him, "Mr. Priest," she said, "a little while ago my brother was an idler, a gambler, a drunkard, and made such a noise in the house and turned it upside down, began to read this book, and he was changed by the message of this book. And now he's a man of industry. He never goes to the tavern. He no longer touches cards. He brings his money home to his poor mother. And he says his life is delightful. She said, "Mr. Priest, if this is a bad book, then," she says, "it produces good fruits." The Bible has always produced good fruits. And maybe the reason why we don't see as much of the good fruit as we should is because we're not planting the word and using the word and reading the word and delving into the word. The psalmist said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is that your testimony and mine this morning? Oh, that it may be so. And dear friend, particularly if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you might come and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. That God's word might become sweet to your taste. It might be bitter at the moment because it's a word of rebuke to you. But dear friend, that word can become sweet. Your heart, your life can be changed. And when you walk in the ways of God and according to the word of God, then that always brings blessing and sweetness to the soul. Oh, that we may taste and see that the Lord is good. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of meeting around thy word today. We thank thee for its efficacy to our souls. And we thank thee, our God, for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And our God, just come and give us a love for thy word in these days. And, O God, that thou would speak through that word to every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.